His name.
Who is like our Lord?
Who is like our Lord and King? His glory and His fame. He is exalted up in the heavens.
Everybody say, I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise.
God. You can be seated this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this nice, warm Sunday morning. We're so glad that you are here. If it's your first time joining us, thank you for coming. If you did not check in at our kiosk out front, we have a small gift for you. And if you're joining us online, we have a bit.ly link that we'd like to get to know you a little bit better. So if you'd click on that, Pastor Phil would love to get in touch with you. And we also have ways. Ooh, this feels really hot. Am I loud out there? Must be the monitors. We have other ways that you can give back to the Lord as He blesses us. And part of the main reason that He blesses us is not so we can have the latest and greatest, but that we can advance His kingdom, not just here in Madison, but across the world. And thank you for your support that you consistently and faithfully give, and we are able to just bless so many people across the world. It's hard because sometimes I get to see and I get the pleasure and the blessing of writing the checks to the missionaries, and I get to send it out, and I get to see the list of names of people that we support. And, you know, it's something we don't think about often, but when you send $7,000 a month just to foreign missionaries, what a blessing. What a blessing. And then we have across the United States, we support many, many works. So when you give in the offering and you give back and you say, God, thank you, He takes that and He multiplies that. And He's not just doing it here at Calvary Gospel Church, not just here in Madison, but in Liberia, in Ethiopia, in Lesotho, in all these different places across the world. So as you give, remember that God can take that and He can use that and bless others. So you can give online. You can see the information on the screen. You can give online. You can give in person in the plexiglass box in the back. You can also mail it in. It's always fun to get mail, and it's really fun when it's a check. So you can mail it in here, and I will process that and make sure it goes where you've designated it to go. Or you can get fancy with our new church app and use that and give online as well. So thank you so much for giving consistently and faithfully. God will bless you. How many of you enjoyed this morning's lessons? Praise God. We kicked off God's Word for Life. I feel like we've been talking about this forever, and I'm so excited to finally see it happening. If you had children who joined us for the 10 a.m. hour, you should have received this family devotional book when you checked in. If you did not get this book, you can see me or one of our lovely ushers in the back, or Sister Maurer, is prepared and ready to hand this to you. This is a family devotional that we are giving to our families because we want to make an investment in you and give you tools for your family. So what this does is we're starting on week 19. So if you pick it up and you start in the beginning and you say, that is not the lesson that I heard today, it's because we're starting on week 19 in this devotional. And then if you were in the adult Sunday school class, you should have received one of these from our ushers in the back. If you did not, please do pick it up. This is the weekly devotion and Bible reading so that we can continue to grow that seed that the Lord has planted in our heart this morning. Amen. The young people received theirs in their class this morning. I was there, so I know you got it. If you don't have it, you can still get one from Sister Sarah, who did a fabulous job teaching our first lesson. Thank you, Sarah. We're just really excited about this and the opportunity that it gives. God's word is nothing new around here, amen? Amen? But what an opportunity to personalize it. Sometimes we become so familiar and we tend to neglect it. And this is just a time, you know, the beginning of the year is a really good time to refocus. And I'm just excited about all of this, if you cannot tell. And we want to see you come alongside us. It doesn't do us any good to do it. It's all of us together, and we want to see you grow and become who God has called you to be. We want to see the purpose of what he wants to accomplish in your life happen. Amen? So if you have any questions about devotionals, about books, about anything to do with that, come see me. If you have other questions, I'll find answers too. But feel free to reach out to me. Wednesday the 19th, we are going to have Sister Karen Poole with us. She is a missionary to Lesotho. It's my understanding that she lost her husband last year, but she has such a burden for this field that she asked to carry this forward. What a burden. So praise God. She's going to be with us. We're excited to hear from her, and that will be on Wednesday, January 19th.
Oh, I would recommend Purpose Institute to a friend, to an enemy, to people I barely know. Because if you want to know anything about God, if you want to know how to get to heaven, if you want to be able to talk to others about salvation, that is the place everybody needs to be.
I'm always promoting Purpose Institute as the next level of discipleship training.
Purpose Institute can help take someone from being a babe in Christ to relatively mature Christian, and so I've seen it happen for many, many people that I know personally, and I would recommend it to anyone who would be interested.
It is really aptly named Purpose Institute. We go through each day, day in and day out, just living life, and it is so easy to get in a rut. Everything is a routine, and sometimes you need something to stretch you. You need something to get you out of your comfort zone, and I cannot think of anything better, whether you are in ministry and you're wanting to expand on that ministry, or whether you really have a love for the Word of God and you want to learn more, or if you simply want to develop a love for the Word of God. Purpose Institute is absolutely amazing.
Amen. I agree. Purpose Institute is absolutely amazing. If you've attended Purpose Institute, one class or all classes, could you just raise your hand? Look at all these hands. If you want to join Purpose Institute, we're getting ready to start up our spring semester, January 20th, Friday night, and Pastor Roy Grant will be speaking for us on Friday evenings in our leadership class. And so what we do is we take one weekend, a Friday night and a Saturday, and we invest that towards learning more in God's word and invest it towards the kingdom and set that apart for January, February, March, and April. And then you have time off, and then we kick off again. So it's not like you're in school all the time, but it's an opportunity to come together, and iron sharpens iron. And we can learn together and we can grow together. This semester's classes are Leadership 2. This is an open enrollment, which means you do not have to be fully registered. If you'd like to attend the class, you can attend it. You just need to see myself or my husband, John Rivest, and we will help make sure that happens for you. Saturday's classes are reserved for enrolled students, and this semester it will be the New Birth, the Epistles, and Equipping the Apostolic Minister 1. So you can sign up for all four of those classes, or you can sign up to take one class or maybe two classes, whatever you'd like to do. If you want more information, please see myself or my husband, and we can help you with that. Amen? Please stand. We're going to join together in prayer this morning. There are so many people who are sick, many people who are fighting things, some fighting COVID, some fighting other sicknesses. We have a prayer request here for Brother Daniel Banks. He did not know it, and apparently has some uncontrolled diabetes, and so he has been hospitalized with this right now, and he's struggling with his blood sugars. So pray for him and Sister Banks this morning and the stress of this hospitalization. Pray for all the people who are getting over COVID. There's other things that are going around. It just seems like every time we turn around, somebody's struggling with something. So just remember to lift up to pray for people, to think of them and encourage them, because the Lord is able to help us through this. It doesn't just go away, but he's able to help us through it and able to strengthen us. Amen? Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have already done this morning. Thank you, God, that we can come into your presence where there is peace and there is understanding, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are our calm. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer. And Lord, we come before you because we have brothers and sisters who are hurting. They have physical things that they're struggling with, or perhaps sickness or even COVID, God. And we pray this morning that you would just reach out to them wherever they are with whatever need it is, Jesus, that you would just provide for them, God. We lift up our brother, Daniel, to you, Jesus, and we ask that you would just touch his body, God, that you would touch his blood sugars, that you would stabilize these, that you would help him and the doctors in this time, that you would give answers and give understanding to this, and be with Sister Erin and be her strength and be her support in this time, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would just continue to move in this house today. God, we know that your spirit is not confined to just here, but God, as we come here and as we focus on you, God, I pray that you would help us to find you in a special way, God, in a deeper way, that we would draw closer to you and what you desire to do in us and through us, God. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As the world bow down and say you are God, and every man bow down and say you are.
And we'll
your presence until you come again. I'll just sing hallelujah until you come again. Oh, and we'll dance in your presence until you come again. Sing hallelujah. In your presence,
we'll dance in your presence till you come again.
Oh, we'll sing hallelujah.
We'll sing hallelujah till you come again.
And we'll dance in your presence.
And we'll dance in your presence.
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 King of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Mm-hmm. We feel the rains of your love. We feel the winds of your spirit. Together. feel the rains.
Feel the rains of your love. Feel the winds of your spirit. And the heartbeat of heaven. Let us hear.
Let us hear.
Such a sweet, powerful presence of the Lord in this place today. Let it rain. I just pray that the power of the Holy Ghost, there's such a heaviness in our world today. We live so blessed. Be able to come to church and feel the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. But not just to come to church to feel it, but to take it with us. We have it with us. Not something that you have to put on every morning that, oh man, I forgot my Holy Ghost today. I got to go back to the house. Because it's in us. That comfort is right here. He's inside of us, our hearts and our minds. And it's so very important that we literally allow His Spirit to just reign. Just let it soak it in like a big sponge. You could be seated this morning. As we prepare for 2022, every year since I've pastored, we've had a year of prayer and fasting in January, and this year is going to be a little bit different, and we're going to start introducing this morning, and we're going to have 3 weeks of messages, of instructional messages, and then our fourth week, we're going to have a bit of a review and a little bit of a challenge, and then we're going to all dismiss, and we're going to go into our fellowship hall and out in our vestibule area. We're going to actually have a connection group ministry fair. If you remember years ago, we had a ministry fair. We have lots of ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church, lots of ways to connect to one another. I was asked this morning just by a brother, hey, I'd like to connect with a teaching group. I feel like God has impressed upon me to start teaching the knowledge, what I know. I need to know more, but I need to teach others. I think his words were, I need to bear fruit. I need to do my part, and I'm very appreciative for that. There are lots of opportunities that we have here. So we'll be going over that. We'll be covering a little bit more of this in detail as we get closer to the end of the month. And we'll have some snacks and some food and such, so you don't have to feel like you have to rush out of here right away. And all of you that love snacks and foods can all say amen. So as we prepare for 2022, boy, did the 2021, it just kind of like was here and like gone. And I was talking to our pastors back in November of last year, and we were looking into 2022, and every year we've kind of come up with a theme. And most years, if I can just be honest with you, it kind of goes like this. We start off strong, we introduce the theme, and by April, most of us, including myself, our theme kind of gets lost in all the activity that surrounds us as a church, and we get busy with ministry, and weeks become months, and before we know it, we're looking into the next year. So this year, I want to just look at things and say, okay, what can we do different that will take this theme and basically ingrain it into our hearts and our minds. So this year, with this theme, we're looking to basically, this year's theme, I wish to become a lifestyle for us. Okay? This year, every message we've had, or not every message has to be, have our theme wrapped into it. So, but I wish to make this yearly theme something that when we look at it, it's like, this has become my lifestyle. If you remember back in the fall of the year, we had a missionary. I believe he was from Japan, and I believe his name was Brother Hosmer. And he spoke a very simple message. And I don't remember the title of his message, but I remember very distinctively the text of his message, and it was Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this really struck a chord with me, and as I was praying about 2022 and the direction we need to go, that kept coming to my mind, Acts 2:42. So in the year of 2022, our theme is going to just be this. It's just going to be simply church. Simply church, Acts 2:42. Simply church, Acts 2:42. So the title of my message today is just Simple Church. And our scripture is Acts 2:42. We live in a very fast-paced, daily changing world. I was kind of laughing. My brother recently, Johnny Grant, recently got a new cell phone. And I'm one of those Android users, only because I started with that, and it's just kind of like, I don't want to learn anything else. It's taken me this long to learn this. So I'm a little bit technically, now I can build almost just about anything, but some technologically advanced things, they're just kind of like, I love the technology, but I don't have a real clear understanding of all of this stuff. And he went and got a new cell phone, and it was like the Samsung 20 or 21 or something. I'm like, really? He's like, well, what's yours? I said, I think mine's a 7. You got to think about this, and it's only like maybe 4 years old. So in 4 years, I would think they would be on like 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe around 11. And they're all the way up this high. So evidently, they're putting out more than just one major phone upgrade a year now with the phone companies. I get these notices all the time. You qualify for a new phone. You qualify for a new phone plan and all this stuff. And I'm like, I may qualify, but I don't want it. Because our world is going fast enough. It's technology. It's overstuffed. And then we have the church. So we have the world, and then we have the church. And I just want to encourage you this morning and let you know that I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I'm a little bit on the sentimental side. I don't mind technology, but it's not driven, doesn't drive me. So when I look at it, the church is not like an iPhone. Okay? The church isn't an iPhone. The church isn't an Android phone or any other brand of smartphone with fully customized preferences. So I can't go into my church life and say I want to customize church so that it just works how I want it to work. Because a church is full of people. And lots and lots and lots and lots of messy people come together that know and worship Jesus Christ. And that's what we see when we look into the book of Acts. We see a bunch of messy people who have come together to learn about and to know on a personal basis and to worship their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reading our series passage today, we're going to start reading Acts 2, verse 42, and I'm going to read all the way to verse 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That verse right there is going to be our core theme for the entire year. Apostles' teaching, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We read in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. It really begins to introduce to us the very first church plant ever. Now, if you're new here at Calvary Gospel Church and we're talking about a church plant, we're not talking about, like, trees and plants. So when we look at spending money on church plants, I don't want you to panic when we raise thousands of dollars for church plants, because it's not talking, we're not talking about actual plants as in like a tomato plant or arborvita plant or vine or tree. We're talking about planting churches, growing other churches, starting other churches outside of this assembly. So here we have Acts 2:42 through 2:47. As we look at it, we can see here that they're not really a smart church because they didn't have everything figured out. They weren't an I church, and they weren't an Android church. Our millennials and Generation Zers will get this. They were a we church. Come on. If you got it, clap. You got it. You see, they were a community of believers and disciples, and they were all following after Jesus Christ. Understand that Jesus had only ascended just a month or so prior to this. He was a very big part of their lives. Perhaps they looked at him as, this is my rabbi, this is my teacher, this is my pastor. And now he's gone. And he's got a community of believers, or disciples, as we call them, which really are followers of Jesus Christ. We look at all the various denominations of the world today, and we have disciples of Hare Krishna. We have disciples of Muhammad. We have disciples that follow after Joseph Smith. We call them Mormons, but they're followers of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. We have Buddhists that follow after Buddha. They're disciples of. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We follow after the doctrines and teachings of Jesus Christ. So let's look at all of this today. We are his church. We're all following him together. And because we're following him together and we're believing after his teachings, his doctrines, and what he passed on to his disciples, which became apostles, we're all doing church together. So let's look at all of this. What does this really mean? What do we see in all of this? What does it mean to do church together? Well, I guess it just means just that. We always look at it. I want you to look at it a little bit differently. Hopefully by time this month is over, you're going to have a total different look at how we do church and why we do it or have been doing it. Perhaps we have been doing it wrong all along. So we say, what does it mean to do church together? We look at it and say, well, it means that church starts at 10 o'clock. So we're there at 9:20 for prayer. Some of us are here. And then at 9:40, prayer stops and people start to come in. And we check our kids into our Sunday school at 9:45. And then service starts at 10. And at 10:05, the pastor gets up and starts to speak the pastor's Bible study. And then we have that portion of church. And then we take a 15-minute break from church. And then we start back at 11 o'clock. And somewhere around 11:30, the pastor gets up and he starts to preach again. And hopefully by 12, we're done with church. I've done my church duty for today. I can go. We can have pepperoni pizza at Papa Jimmy's. We can go to Perkins. We can go to Cracker Barrel. We can go home and barbecue. But my obligation for church is done for today. I saw Brother Carrie Mellon at church. Talked with Brother Dave Shroud at church. Talked with Sister Kim. I said hi to Brother Jay. We did church together, didn't we, bro? Church together. That's how we look at church. The pastor gets up and preaches, or somebody gets up and preaches. And we sit back and we say, boy, I'm so glad pastor's feeding me today.
I didn't read my Bible on Monday. I didn't read it Tuesday. Wednesday night, I think I read it a little bit while they were preaching because I got bored. And I started reading in Book of Proverbs. I think I got through two or three verses in Proverbs before a text went off and somebody texted me. And let's see, then church was over. So yeah, feed me, Pastor. I'm really hungry. You see, if I'm the church, it's all about me, isn't it? It's all about what I want. So that's how we sometimes look at church. I go to church because I want to be fed. I go to church because I have expectations from the pastor and from the youth pastor. It's the youth's responsibility to teach my child and raise my child. That's why we go to church. See, are you part of a we church? We have the I church. It's all about me church. And then we have the we church. Now, we church is what we need to be. We need to be a we church. We need to be a church that's all about Jesus Christ. So when I come here today, it's not about me, and it's not about Sister Jessica, and it's not about me preaching what Pastor Roy wants to preach, but it's what Jesus Christ wants his people, his church, to hear today. It's about him. It's about his preferences. What does God want to say to us today? How does God want to use me today? How does God want to speak through me today? What is it today, God, how can you use the seemingly at times worthless vessel of clay that's fractured and cracked and in dire need of repair sometimes, but how do you want to use this vessel to further not my kingdom, but his kingdom? Remember, I've said this so many times, Calvary Gospel Church is not my church. I do not own this church. We collectively own the building and the things in the building. But you don't come here to worship. You should not be coming here to say, oh, I want to hear what Pastor has to say today. I want to hear what God has to say through Pastor. Because that's the way we should be doing church. Calvary Gospel Church, it's not my church. It's God's church. I believe this very, very strongly. I'm a temporary overseer of his church. We read the scripture in Matthew. We read I think it's Matthew and Luke. We read about the parable of the servants and the talents. That the master has left and he leaves his servants in charge of his estate. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. He's not here in body. He's coming back. He will be back. And when he comes back, he will ask his servant, what have you done with what I've given you? I'm accountable. I take that very serious, and it weighs on me sometimes, maybe too much, maybe not enough. But you see, I'm here as a servant, and you are here as well. We are all servants of Jesus Christ. So when we look at the book of Acts, what we see is by no means a perfect church. We're going to talk about this more as the month unfolds. But you see, the book of Acts is by no means perfect, but it's a church. And it's an example of what God expects his church to be. So it's what God expects out of me, and it's what God expects out of you. He's given us a fresh, right out of the box, brand spanking new to humanity, an example of a church. And the big difference is it's his church. It's not just a church. It's his church. And it's all laid out in written form in the book of Acts for the entire world to see. So let's just start this morning. Let's start to look to see how they show us. How does the book of Acts show us how to do church together? But instead of looking at it and say, that's the book of Acts church, we're all part of this same church. They started in the first century, second century, third century. It was the beginning, the roots of the church, and here we are in the 2022 century. 2022 years, not exactly, but close enough, give or take a lifetime. Here we are. We are an extension of the original body of Christ. The church hasn't changed direction. It hasn't changed its mission. It hasn't changed its vision. We haven't changed leaders. We're not following someone different now than we started. We still are disciples of Jesus Christ. And he tells us to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. So we are here today, all these years later, looking at how our forefathers planted and built the first church. We open to chapter 2 with Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. And it goes through the Peter's first message to not just the church, but the first message that he ever preached that we are aware of. And much of Acts chapter 2 is part of, or it includes that message and a little bit of context to that message and a little background. And at the end of his very first sermon that he ever preached, 3,000 people repented of their sins and were baptized and were filled with the precious power of the Holy Ghost. Now here we have those in that early church who stay behind in Jerusalem. And they don't return back to their homes. I mean, they got this and they got it strong. It hit them like we spoke of Abraham, where God said, Abraham, leave. I mean, they never went back home. They stayed there and they continued daily in the temple with other believers. So those out there that feel like they don't have to be connected to a church body, we wouldn't have Acts and how the church was formed if God never intended for us to be together as a body. So there's those that stayed behind in Jerusalem. They don't return and they form the first church. It's almost like they naturally come together to do what they're supposed to do. We followed Jesus together as a group of disciples and of people, followers of Jesus. Now we're doing the same thing. It's just he's not here. We have the disciples. They're here. We're going to follow after the words of Jesus. And it all starts. It didn't start with them meeting out on a hillside somewhere, passing around baskets of fish. That came later. But they started gathering around God's word. We got to understand something here, folks. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, and Corinthians, and Ephesians, and Philippians, Galatians. They didn't have all of that. That hadn't yet been written. All they had was Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, Genesis, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That's all they had. They started church, living New Testament disciples of Jesus principles, but teaching them and solidifying them and strengthening them in Old Testament. This is why the Old Testament is as equally as important as the New Testament. It reinforces and strengthens. They build on each other. So just as we enter into 2022, we are gathering around God's Word and beginning God's Word for life. Everything we are doing, we are going to replicate. We read in Acts 2:42. They've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Acts 2:43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. As I said, they didn't have copies of the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, Hebrew scriptures. They pulled out passages from the Torah. They pulled out from Genesis and Deuteronomy, as well as the books of the prophets and the Psalms and the apostles. Understand something, the apostles after Pentecost, if you haven't picked this up in your Bible study, before Pentecost, they were called disciples. After Pentecost, they were called apostles. And never again were they referred to as the 12 disciples. After your godly experience, we can become a disciple to an apostle, which means someone that goes out and preaches and teaches what they've been taught. The Old Testament scriptures all pointed to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And they took what they had and they performed great miracles just like Jesus did. They had the power. They possessed the same power when Jesus said, greater works than these, greater works. You're going to do better things, Peter, than what I was able to do. I'm sure Jesus, in his mind, he knew ahead what Peter was going to be in the process Peter was going to go through. But someday, you're going to get off of your face in bitterness and frustration, and you're going to be walking down the street, and people are going to be healed because of your shadow. It's going to fall on them and they're going to be healed. All because, Peter, you went from a disciple. You went through a process. Now you're an apostle. And you're doing church just as I designed it to be. Greater things than these shall ye do. And they did it all with boldness in their hearts and in their minds. There has to be something, church, that brings us together as a people. I've struggled with this, and it's been frustrating to me at times because the church, we're not a social club. It's not like you can go over like to the golf club and you can sign up and say, I want to pay a membership due and I want to have the same rights that everybody else here has because I'm paying the same dues and I want to come in here and I want to be able to. No. We're not a social club. We're not a golf club. We're not a bridge club. We're not a sewing club. We're not a cooking club. We're brought together. We're not brought together because we all love the same food. Well, everybody at that church there, that's a Mexican food church. They got a good strong Spanish ministry and so that's all they eat. That's what brings them together is burritos. I love burritos. Man, I'm hoping when we get to heaven and we get in that buffet food line at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that I'm on the Mexican end of the table. All those little pinky finger English truffle stuff, not for me. Give me a burrito. Let me have Sister Martinez, Ava Martinez. I want to be at her end of the table. And everybody says amen. You see, it's not food that brings us around. We're not even here because we're all from the same country. We're not here because we all speak the same language. It's not our hobby or special interests or our nationality that unites us. What unites us is a common bond and a common relationship that is centered around nothing more than Jesus Christ and His Word. That is what brings us all together here. What makes me sisters with Claudia, brothers and sisters, is not because we come to Calvary Gospel Church together, but because we serve the same Jesus Christ. We have the same blood flowing through our veins. He has saved my soul. He has saved her soul. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping God together and doing church, studying His Word as He intended it to be. You see, this means when we get together as Christians that, yes, we can talk about other things. I'm sure the disciples, when they got together, it's like, hey, how's the fishing today, Peter? Terrible. You fishing off the shoals, off around the bend? No, nothing there. We were there early this morning where we normally pick up 15, 20, 30, 40. Didn't get nothing, nothing. You see, we can talk about, I can call up Nathan Rossing, and we can talk about our favorite brisket recipes. I can talk about hobbies, and I can talk to Brother Josh Stone, who their family's on vacation. We can talk about camping, and we can talk about kayaking, and I can talk about trains with Brother Perry Hicks and Brother John and Christopher, the carpenters, have been over, and we talked about trains, but we can also to talk about Jesus Christ. He's a common bond. We can talk about Jesus Christ, and we can talk about His Word. Anytime we want to talk about it, we can talk about it. We come together, we gather around God's Word. We are gathering around Jesus Christ and His gospel. That is really why we're here. We're coming to learn about Him. We're coming to see how the scriptures, what we read, maybe we don't have complete understanding, and that we want to learn more, so we come and we're able to learn more to see how all the scriptures point to Jesus Christ. We come to confess and repent our sins, not to a pastor, but to Him. But we're just not limited to Sundays. We're not just limited to Wednesdays. We can literally have church every day of the week, multiple times a day. We remember His sacrifice on the cross. We're thankful for His love, His grace, His mercy that He has extended. We celebrate His resurrection and His ascension. We don't have a huge Easter splash like a lot of people have, because we celebrate a risen Savior. By Jesus, he's been alive. He never died. Maybe physically, but He's a risen Savior. He's God in the flesh. I understand that. I realize that, and I have that relationship with Him. I know Him. I want to know Him better. You see, it's Jesus Christ that unites us. It's not Brother Bernard. It's not Bishop John Grant. It's not Bishop Jim Booker. It's Jesus Christ that unites us together. We're following, we're gathering around Jesus Christ and around His Word. So when we look at 2022, we say, Pastor, this year, I just want us to have simple church. I'm not against programs, but boy, all this, sometimes things just wear you out. I want to just come to church. I want to fellowship with my brothers and my sisters. I want to have church together. So if we can stand this morning. Our musicians can come. We're going to go through. We're talking about this morning. We're talking about His Word. We study it together. We pray together. We fellowship together. It's not about me. It's not an I church. It's a we church. And it's all about Him. So our challenge for the next month is we're going to have some fellowship. I want to encourage all of us. This all has to be just grassroots. We're not putting up schedules and not making it overly complicated. My wife and I have determined we're leaving today, going to go home, change clothes, and we're going over and we're having fellowship. Someone we haven't been to their house in a long, 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 long time. Just going to fellowship. Going to reconnect. Going to enjoy time together. Talk about who knows what. Maybe play a game. Maybe not. Who knows? I don't care. I'm just looking forward to some wood-fired pizza and fellowship with brothers and sisters. So I want to encourage us. I don't care how messy your house is. I don't care your status as far as, well, I want to encourage you to just have someone over to your home. It doesn't have to be food. It could just be a time of friendship and fellowship. So much of what we do revolves around food. When we get to heaven, it's going to be 30 minutes of silence. Did you know that? 30 minutes of total silence. And then we're going to sit down and we're going to eat. I love that. I have this theory. While the tribulation period's happening on earth and all hell's breaking loose, we're having a banquet. And when all hell's done breaking loose down here, then our banquet's over and we'll start the next duties of Christ ruling and reigning on the earth. That's just a simple theory, but in my mind, it's like a 7-year meal. And you never get full. You never get tired. It's not just food, it's fellowship. I guess that's why God gave us a stomach. So here this morning, when you leave here today, I want to encourage you, get on the phone, call somebody. Somebody you have not fellowshipped with, maybe somebody you never have. My wife and I, this whole month, we want to have people over to our home, go to other people's homes, take them out to dinner, whatever it takes. Let's just make it simple. Connect with somebody. Connect with somebody and have fellowship. You'll never be able to take that out of my memory, us having lunch together at Black Bear, sharing biscuits and gravy. It's there, bro. It's still there. He wears his better than I do. I love you, bro. Fellowship. I love every one of you. I wish I could just give everybody a big hug right now and say, come on over to the house after church. Let's have dinner. It's just not possible. But we can do it together, collectively. So if you're leaving here church today by yourself and you're bummed out because you're eating alone, you had an opportunity to invite somebody, another brother or sister, to go share it with you. So as our music worship team begins to sing, I just want to open up the altar. This is not anything deep. It's just a life change. Lord, help me. Help me this week. Help me this month. Help me this year. I want to put you the center of my life. Your word. and my brothers, my sisters. This would be a rough ride if you weren't here sharing it. God bless you. So you see, there's a lot of folks that aren't here today that are homesick. A lot of our elderly are not comfortable with getting out. I think every church, every pastor I've talked to this week is just, this COVID wave is just not just here, but out east and south, and talk with my aunt and uncle down in Texas and such. But here at Calvary, we all see people, we all know people that aren't here today for various reasons. Part of this is just going home and getting on the phone, saying, hey, I want to give my brother, I want to give my sister a call, see how they're doing, check it up on them. Anything we can help you with? Do you need groceries? Do you need anything? Need your sidewalk shoveled if it's snowing? all kinds of ways that we can be disciples of Jesus Christ. So, just as a challenge, ditch your iPhone and become a we. God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you. Thank you so very much to our music worship team today. Great job. Thank you very much. Remember, if you did not get a devotion as an adult, make sure you get your devotion. They have them in the back, the ushers. God bless you. Have a very blessed week. We'll be here on Wednesday evening. Next service. God bless. Thank you.